The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Great, I don't believe it either.
No, we're known for our lying, us Torontonians, we're going to say. All right, let's get started. So you've got about 15 minutes. Is that good, Will?
Perfect. I apologize. My dad's flying in today. Of course, he wants to go to the Miami games.
So that's where he's coming in. So
I have to pick him up at the airport.
It's probably
Where's your dad from? Where's your dad living?
Montana. All my family's in Montana. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
So I don't know what kind of journey he's on. He left at 8 a.m. today. So, yeah. So he's here. We'll get a couple rounds of golf in over the weekend. And
is the weather going to be good enough?
It better be. It better be.
No kidding.
Yeah, I got to make his trip worth it.
Well, I mean, that being said, though, I mean, last year you were at Miami. I mean, surely he got to quite a few games there. He's not going to be blown away by that. Oh, he didn't?
They never went. And believe me, I'm close to my family, like very close. But obviously because of work and stuff, they were never able to make it happen. They talked about it a lot, but it never happened. And so now I'm glad that at least my dad's coming. My mom can't because of work, but it'll be good to have my pops around for a few days.
Yeah. Listen, Will, I mean, your journey is interesting. It's a fascinating footballing journey, starting in Mexico, of course, playing at Lyon, you know, you won some silverware there, then to MLS, obviously. But tell me about what is it like being a professional footballer in Mexico?
It's different, man. For me, it was normal because it's all I knew, right? Because I was born and raised in Mexico, went up through Pachuca's academy. And then Pachuca buys Leon. They send me to Leon and I was there for 9 years. So when I showed up at Leon, it was second division still. We got promoted to first division. And that's when we got promoted. That's when I realized what the game means to the people there. Like seeing the parade we had, that's when I realized what it meant to people. And so It's a different beast in the sense of, you know, there's a lot more media attention. There's a lot more pressure from fans, from ownership. So it's, you know, you have to get used to living with that pressure on a day-to-day basis. And I loved it, you know, because it doesn't let you switch off for 1 second. I mean, I can tell you right now, I would lose in Leon. And I wasn't going to the grocery store, dude. Like, I would literally not go out. I wouldn't even go to the grocery store. And I was embarrassed because in Mexico, you don't pump your own gas. You have someone that will do it for you. I was embarrassed to roll the window down. And because they everyone's a fan in Leon of the team. And so, you know, you're getting shit from the guy who's pumping gas for you. And you know, so it doesn't allow you to switch off for 1 second, which I absolutely loved. And but yeah, after 9 years, I felt like I needed something different. I was fortunate enough to do well in Leon, and I felt like I was going into a comfort zone. So I needed a new challenge. I needed, you know, something different. And, you know, that's when I made my move to MLS in 2020. 5 days later, everything got shut down because of COVID.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. What are the differences did you find in Major League Soccer, if there is any, to the training methods that they had in Mexico? Is there some comparisons there? I mean, obviously football is football, but there's different cultures, different way to play, different tendencies, different nuances. Did you notice a difference between the two leagues?
You know what, Craig? It's no joke. I promise you. It's the first time someone's asked me that question. As far as they always ask me to compare Liga MX to MLS, but you know, going in the depth with your question, which I appreciate you asking that question. I think it comes down to the coach, whoever is the coach. You know, I've had coaches who, this is a true story. Gustavo Matosas, he's the coach I had my debut with from Uruguay. His method of training was, I'm going to make you train under the most amount of pressure possible. So come game time, you're doing things more naturally. You know, it comes natural to you. It's second nature what you're doing. But you were shitting your pants during training. Like, you played one bad ball, you knew he was staring you down. You played a second one, he would stop training and make you go again. And I promise you, you played a third bad ball, he'd kick you out of training. He'd send you home. And so you couldn't be switched off for 1 second. As far as tactics go, I feel like MLS are a little more inclined to the tactical aspect of the game. It exists in Mexico, but it just comes down more to personality, grit. It comes down to, you know, coaches and the scouting department and bringing in the players that fit the style of play that they're looking for. And, you know, assuming that we as players have the tactical knowledge, you know, that coaches need from us. And in MLS, I've noticed that there's a lot of more work. You know, there's a lot more structure in what they're looking for tactically in the run of play. So I feel like the biggest difference is MLS, it's a little more tactical driven, where they focus a lot on that structure and they're analyzing data of high press regains and counter attack goals and, you know, how to balance it all out to where you're having solid performances. And in Mexico, it all comes down to knowing what style of play the coach wants. And then it just comes down to the individual to perform to the standard of what's being asked of you.
Do you find, Sharms, I was going to ask one more follow up on that, is that, do you think there's more pressure on the managers in Mexico? Because I'll be honest, there's not relegation in MLS, so you're not going to get the pressures from the owners on the coaches because we're going to lose millions of dollars on TV money, these sort of things. Do you think that matters and that makes a difference to the way they coach and maybe even with opportunities for players?
I personally believe so. I mean, right now Mexico is struggling a bit because they got rid of promotion and relegation. And I think they just had a meeting not too long ago saying it wasn't coming back, promotion and relegation. And I think even with that, you know, unfortunately, from what I experienced in Mexico, there's very little patience. And, you know, ownership wants immediate results. And so a lot of times, listen, I was there for 9 years and I had five coaches, I believe. And one of those coaches, Gustavo Matosas, he was there for 5 years, five of the nine I was there. So that just tells you, you know, I had four coaches in 4 years. And, you know, and ownership feels a lot of pressure too from media, from fans, especially fans. Fans will let you hear about it if the team's not performing. And, you know, there are cases where coaches in Mexico, I've seen it happen. I promise you, dude. Like, you can look it up if you want. Coaches who are there for a month to get fired. You know, they want immediate results. And I understand that, you know, there's a lot of pressure from fans, from media, from sponsors, and it's all about results. At the end of the day, this game is about results. And, you know, I wish there were a little bit more of that faith in the coach and in a project, a long-term project. But right. The reality is something different. There are a few teams that do it that way, that believe in long-term projects. And in some of them, you can start to see results. And that I do admire about MLS is that they believe in building something in the long run. And, you know, but at the end of the day, results say a lot. So, yeah.
You talk about the coaching down there, and maybe that's why the coaches can be so harsh, you know, and tough on their players. You come to MLS, which is obviously there's so many college-based kids coming through the system in MLS. do you think they could handle it? I mean, not to say that you're an old guy, you know, and I feel so old when talking about kids today, right? That they can't handle that kind of.
Thanks a lot.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? could they handle that? Do you think?
Well, that kind of coaching. How old do I look, dude?
Oh, you look like 22.
You look a lot younger than you actually are. You're not an old man, but football wise, you're in your prime. You're 36.
I'm only looking to cry from now on. I think they can, but they have to experience it. You know, right. I remember my first few games. I kid you not, I was shooting my pants every time I went out to the field. But you have to trust that. You know, I'm a firm believer in the way you train is the way you play. And if I'm giving less than 100% of myself during training, don't expect to have a good performance on the weekend. And so my mindset was always, even though I'm nervous, even though I have, you know, this pregame anxiety, whatnot, I know that the repetition that I did on the week is going to bail me out on the weekend. And so a lot of times you could even tell, or you can't notice that someone internally is nervous, just because through repetition, you know, it comes second nature what you're doing out on the pitch. And so these younger, I would love for them. That's why I believe, like, Leagues Cup, for example, I would like for it to be played in Mexico as well. Not only, you know, in the US. I know, you know, it's different with Toronto, but for them to get that experience, to get that experience of a hostile environment, and it helps you mature very quickly. I think they can handle it, but they have to be exposed to it. You know, and the more exposure you get to those types of scenarios, you know, the more comfortable you're going to feel with that surrounding. So that's why I would like, you know, for especially with Leagues Cup in this case, for it to also be played in Mexico. So we're seeing it now in CONCACAF, yesterday LAFC, day before Nashville. And, you know, those younger generations who are coming up and they get to play these types of games, I think that's, you know, helps them build that character, being exposed to those types of environments.
You know, we as a goalkeeper, we know it's a very humbling position. You know, as you talk about, like, winning results, going to the gas station, getting abused, like, it's something we sort of have to take as goalkeepers and as players, professional players in general. With the World Cup coming up, we got, you know, obviously the goalkeepers for Mexico, Canada, the United States playing at home. How much pressure? Like, I mean, I've never experienced, like, very few have experienced a home World Cup. So it's hard to even explain to somebody what that's going to be like, because I don't think anybody, like, very few people have ever experienced that. And you talk about what you're doing in training and trying to repeat that in there. How do you think it's going to be for those guys, those goalkeepers for all those countries going out at a home World Cup?
It's gonna be interesting, man. Like, especially since it's a home World Cup, I think there's a little bit of that added pressure wanting to perform in front of your people, right? And there's, you know, interesting scenarios coming up for, especially, for example, Mexico. You know, we know Memo Ochoa has played, you know, the last few World Cups, and now it looks like he's passing the torch on to a younger kid who's never, you know, played a World Cup. And right. It being, you know, at home, it's definitely a lot more pressure. And I just think it comes down to the individual personality of each person. As far as keepers go, you know, I'm not too concerned, you know, speaking specifically of Mexico, US and Canada, because every one of those keepers who's on the rosters at the moment, we have no idea what the final rosters are going to be, I think have the personality to deal with that extra layer of pressure. And dude, you're a keeper. We're a little crazier than the average Joe, right? And which I think, you know, feeds perfectly into the scenario we're living through right now, which is hosting a World Cup. Like I said, they're just gonna have to trust the work they're putting in, and they can't forget to enjoy, man. Like, I feel like a lot of times pressure makes us forget to enjoy what we're living. It's a once in a lifetime thing. And
yeah,
if you
very good point.
A little bit of joy in what you're doing, I mean, it's going to, you know, it's not going to be great. So I hope they actually take it all in, realize you know that it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and that despite all the nerves and anxiety that they're going to be feeling playing in front of their fans and everything, that they're able to find the joy in doing what we love most. And I think that'll go a long ways.
It's a great segue for the last question. I know you got to run soon, Will, but you played in Miami last year. No player has felt the pressure, I'm sure, that Leo Messi has felt in his career, but he's won everything anyway. He's that good. How demanding is he to play with as a captain, knowing who he is? Is he easy to play with? Is it difficult? What's he like?
First of all, he's a great dude, starting with that. I think, obviously, I remember the first day I showed up at Miami. It's kind of like you can't believe that you're interacting with him. You know, you're kind of shocked because, in my opinion, he's the best player to have ever played the game. That's a personal opinion. But then as days goes on, you realize he's just a normal dude. You know, when he's in the locker room, he just wants to, you know, talk with his teammates and talk about nothing. Like, you know, he just wants to be seen as a normal dude. And so as days goes on, you realize that as a person, he's just like any of us. But then you see him out on the pitch and you're like, all right, this dude is not from here. He's from a different and the thing that surprised me the most is he's 38, I believe, going on 39, and how competitive he is. And so, you know, obviously Miami has a lot of South American players who grew up in, you know, most of these guys started their careers in hostile environments where there's a lot of pressure. And so they're used to playing with a little bit of that pressure. But when you're playing with the best in the world, takes it up a notch. And, but he's just competitive. He wants to win. And so he's a leader, you know, who sets an example for the rest of us. And he leads by example. And so when you see him, even in a small-sided game, you know, wanting to win and hates losing, you know, it's contagious. And you're as dumb as dumb you can be if you're not taking advantage of that, of someone like him who's won absolutely everything and is still competitive even in training. And, you know, and not skipping training. None of those dudes, not him, not Suarez, whose knees are shot and he's still going and he's still pushing through pain and is competitive and wants to win. Like the younger generations, they have to see that, right? You know, when we won the MLS Cup, I remember going up to Leo and telling him like, you finally won it. I know you wanted this one more than, you know, just messing around. Like, and I told him, if you stay this humble, you're going to win a lot in your career. But
yeah, you got a future.
You got a future. And the first thing he told me was, we got to go get CONCACAF now. And that's like, dude, come on, man. You know, one of the reasons they brought you in was to win this trophy. And it hasn't even been a full minute, and you're already talking about winning CONCACAF. That's how competitive it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I hope that the guys who I had the privilege of being his teammate, you know, it was contagious for me. And I hope that the younger generations can learn a lot from that competitive mindset and always pushing yourself to achieve, you know, or pushing yourself to try to achieve excellence.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, listen, we could talk for a lot longer. I know we could. Listen, let's get you back on at some point. Really enjoyed this, Will. Thank you so much. I know it's been a tough week for TFC, but back at it. And, you know, what better way to get back at it than against Miami and Messi, right?
Yep. Hopefully we can, you know, get 3 points, turn the page and keep climbing, you know, in the standings. And James, Craig, next time, let's get it set up here, man. You know,
let's do it.
You guys can come. We can do it here. I can get you guys some coffee, whatever you guys want. You know, no, I know you live
there. That would be amazing. And maybe I'll come golfing with you and your dad sometime.
Oh, dude, whenever.
Yeah.
Whenever.
I hope you really enjoy that time as well. It's obviously special. He didn't get out to Miami, but he gets out to Toronto. Hopefully you guys enjoy yourself and get 3 points as well as enjoying yourself on the golf course.
Greatly, greatly appreciate that. And, you know, at least to me, family is everything. So definitely gonna enjoy having my pops around. And privileged talking to you both. And, you know, I'm here for whatever you guys need.
Good man. Thanks so much, mate. Really appreciate it. That is Will Yarbrough of Toronto FC. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
That was great, mate. Thanks so much. Perfect. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, you. Will. Have a great rest of your day. And anything you guys need, be in touch.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Cool, mate.
All right.
Chat soon.
See ya.
Thank you.